You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender-inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer-founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
On the Bechdel cast, the questions asked if movies have women in them. Are all their discussions just boyfriends and husbands, or do they have individualism? The patriarchy's effing vast. Start changing it with the Bechdel cast.
Hello and welcome to the Bechdel cast. My name is Jamie Loftus.
Oh, hello. I guess we're doing these accents. I didn't know, but here we are.
I just want to incense our audience. I just want to polarize them right at the top.
So, yeah, of course. My name's Caitlin Durante.
Durante.
And we are here to talk about the portrayal of women in film.
The Bechdel test is the metric that we use in order to talk about how women are portrayed in
what the bloody
films.
Hell is the Bechdel test?
It's something usually applied to cinema, but can be applied to all media.
How long are we going to do this bit?
It's a test. I don't know, because there's no reason to do it, too, because this movie is not Australian.
No, not at all.
It's not Australian. I think anytime I see Miles Gree, I just begin to talk this way, and it's had to break out of.
So the Bechdel test.
We're back to our regular toad speak. The Bechdel test is the metric we use to discuss it. It is a test that requires there are two women in a scene who have names who talk about something other than a man. Not many movies pass. We talk about other tests as well, but that's our jumping off point. Shall we demo it?
I would love to. Hey, Jamie.
Yes, Caitlin, what's up?
Have you ever been to Australia, mate?
I've never been, but everybody thinks I'm from there because of my very convincing accent that no one finds annoying, and they actually think it's very cool.
I like how you go into like a Liverpool accent toward the end. It's very cool.
It's a spectrum.
Well, I passed the Bechdel test.
It's true. Yeah. So it doesn't mean that everything that passes the Bechdel test is not annoying. It can be very annoying.
Sure.
So, you know, let women be annoying.
Damn it. It's our time to be
God
annoying.
God damn it. Time's up, men being annoying. I get to be annoying now. Well, today we have a banger today.
A banger.
we got a real bing bong today. I'm very excited to talk about this movie because it is a movie that is 9 years old, and yet I feel like the public opinion of this movie has changed drastically since the movie's release.
Mm-hmm.
500 Days of Summer.
Here with us to talk about the film is our friend, a very wonderful person, a comedian. Sorry, I'm going to go back to how I usually talk. She's a comedian. She's one of the co-hosts of Lady to Lady podcast.
Yay.
And she's got an album out called Opinion Cave, Brandy Posey.
Hello, governors.
Oh, hello.
How's it going?
Top of the morning to ya. I don't know if this is good or not.
This is good, and in fact, it's great.
We have alienated all of our international
listeners. Hello, international listeners.
It's okay. I'll just talk American over here. Yeah. It's fine.
Well, we here on the Bechdelcast, that was my attempt at a Southern accent. Let's...
We're blowing it. Blowing it.
Hey, y'all, let's just get into it.
Let's get into the discourse.
So, Brandy, what is your history, your relationship with the movie 500 Days of Summer?
Does that sigh say it all? I watched it last night for the very first time.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, wow.
I don't like Zoe's whole thing. This movie seemed like it was peak whimsy. The Manic Pixie Dream Girl thing just really irritates me.
Sure.
And this seemed like at the time when it came out that it was the most that. And I know that that's not necessarily a popular opinion sometimes. So I just was like, if I don't see it, then I don't have to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And then 9 years later, I was booked on a podcast where I had to talk about it to strangers.
Sure.
Thousands of them listening. It's great.
Thank you for your sacrifice.
Yeah, it's fine. It's all good. Yes. I was watching this with my boyfriend last night, and he got about halfway through, and then he was like, stop waterboarding me with twee. I'm going to bed.
Ooh. Good.
Yeah.
That is basically what this movie is.
Yeah.
Well, Jamie, what's your history?
I'm guilty of loving it. I was 16 when this movie came out, and it really got me. Yeah, I really loved this movie when it came out. Mm-hmm. But I within a few years had turned on it, which is why I think that a lot of people had that experience of this movie when it came out. I was it's love, and this is what I want. And then I remember watching it, I think in college, just a few years later, and being like, oh, this is kind of horseshit, you know?
Yeah.
I will say, I don't think it is a movie that is self-aware. It has no idea what it's doing, but there's a few different ways to watch it, all of which I think are sort of interesting. Because when I was watching it this time, because this is probably, I've probably seen this movie 5 or 6 times over the years. And every time I watching it from this perspective, knowing that the message is ultimately net negative kind of.
Yeah.
It's interesting to watch this movie as if it knows what it's doing. Because if it was a self-aware movie, it might be brilliant.
Yeah.
But it has no idea, and so it's dumb.
Self-aware in terms of it knowing that it's
Joseph Gordon-Levitt is the
character.
Villain of the movie.
Yes. Yeah.
Which I don't think the movie has any clue, because I was reading about the production, and the guy who wrote it was like, I was going through a breakup, and I was, I was at my heart, and me, very, very sensey boy bullshit.
Oh, yeah. This is a guy that has put holes in all of his hoodies for his fingers. His thumbs go through all...
My thumbies!
His thumbs! Ugh, fuck off.
My thumbies! Where even Joseph Gordon-Levitt now recognizes... I mean, and Joseph Gordon-Levitt, I don't know that he's done anything wrong. I do find him annoying. That's whatever.
I'm here for Joseph Gordon. I am a fan of his. I grew up watching Third Rock from the Sun a lot, so I liked him from an early age. And I don't know. I just, I'm not going to join his fan club or anything like that, but I enjoy him.
This is going to sound contradictory of me, but Joseph Gordon-Levitt is a bit in your face about how very woke he is. And that's just a quality in men I find annoying.
Yeah.
Not harmful. But annoying.
Oh, for sure. I tweeted about this movie last night because I was just furious watching it. And I had
some... Off leash.
And here's the thing. If you say that you don't like 500 Days of Summer, several woke men will explain to you the movie as if you just don't understand what it's really about. Hey, women aren't objects. They're people who can think for themselves, honey.
Oh my king.
And several guys did that to me last night.
Gee whiz.
So I'm still
What I'll say for Joseph Gordon-Levitt is as early as 2012 he declared himself the villain of the movie. So it is interesting where he and Zooey Deschanel have both spoken of this movie in retrospect and pretty close to it coming out as that wasn't a good story or not as good as everyone thought it was in 2009.
Well, and I could see reading that script and being the intent is that my character is a villain, but it's just executed really poorly. But I also don't think that was the intent of the thing in the first place.
I don't think so either.
I think they were
it made me want that movie, though.
Yeah.
I would a movie where the, sensey indie boy is, punished by the narrative.
For sure. Well, it's funny because this movie aspires to be Garden State.
Which is, what a horrible goal.
Can you imagine what your goal? To be like, I just want to be Garden State.
I'm striving for Braff.
Oh my God.
Well, whenever we get around to Natalie November or whatever time we do Portman
July was really the funniest phrase ever. I don't know why it was. But yeah, I loved this movie when it came out and turned on it within a few years.
Yeah, same thing happened with me. I saw it pretty shortly after it came out. Really enjoyed it. Thought it was, you know, a subversive example of like the rom-com genre that I had come to hate.
Which is crazy because it subverts nothing.
No.
But that was what people thought when it came out.
Yeah, well, you know, I was not as, you know, aware of things back then. So, and then I think probably only saw it once or twice between then and now. And, and now that I've rewatched it, it's a whole new world.
Yeah.
So, shall I do the recap of the story?
The recap of the film?
Are you going to start with the opening where there's just like several lines of text?
Sure, yeah. Oh. Great place to start. So the author's note that happens over black before we see any even images.
In courier font, grow up.
Where we can assume the screenwriter, the director, whoever's story this is, says, "The following is a work of fiction. Any resemblance to persons living or dead is purely coincidental." Next frame. "Especially you, Jenny Beckman." Next frame. Bitch. So right away,
and we're swishing.
Yeah, I mean,
start with a three-pointer.
I like stood up in my house and was like, "Oh, cool! So this is the movie."
I would love to watch you watch this movie.
I was just punching a pillow the entire
Brandy's
time.
Brandy's very upset.
Yeah. So just in case you weren't sure how this movie views women, it thinks they're all bitches, basically.
Bitches, skanks, and whores. Mm-hmm. All three words are used. Pretty
uppity super skank. Is invoked. God, I mean, this was like the late aughts where it was, and you know, all of history, but when it was the sniveling loser was getting fucked for some reason, but it was just as misogynist as the jock, and it was just like, well, what?
What's the difference here?
Right. So we meet Tom, Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character, and we meet Summer Finn, Zooey Deschanel's character.
Twee.
And so Tom is our protagonist. He loves love. He's a sensey boy, and he is like on the lookout for the one.
Something about him just is like, he totally has called someone like, we're like Jack and Sally, you know, like he has that like Hot Topic adjacent vibe of like, I've never said this to anyone before, but you're kind of the Sally to my Jack. I'm like, I'm going to kill myself.
Yes. No, he for sure has like a mix of just songs that are about two names. You know what I mean? He's just like, okay, these are going to be us. Cool. Awesome.
This man made a sex playlist in 2007, has not updated it to this day. He's like, what do you think about Beach House? Like, that's like, he's gonna finger you to a Beach House album. He's done it a million times, and then he'll yell at you later. I hate him.
Can I get mad that you're not getting off during Usher? Can that that's what it'll be?
Okay, so Tom and Summer meet at work, and the movie follows their relationship in which they are either together or not, basically. Him having feelings for her over the course of 500 days. And the movie tells the story out of chronological order. What does they think it is? Pulp Fiction?
Ever heard of non-linear narrative? Kind of a cool thing this movie does. I think that sometimes when movies go non-linear, it is to mask that it is a boring movie. Almost always. It's like, oh, put in sequence. This movie fucking sucks.
Absolutely. Like, oh, but the past is happening now?
What?
It's like shitty time travel.
It started good and then it got bad. Like, I feel like the out of order adds almost nothing to this movie.
Yeah.
That's just a note.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. Yeah. So we see their relationship unfold and their breakup unfold over the course of the movie. Again, it's taking place not necessarily in chronological order. We do kind of start at the beginning, though, where they meet. He sees her and he's just instantly enamored with her. And she is ambivalent. She barely notices him. And then he gets closer to her. Other characters would say that he stalks her, which
he
listens to the Smiths. Mm. Thank you very much.
Yeah, yeah. So and, he could not commit a crime.
Yeah.
He's sensey.
We don't see him stalking her the way other movies portray a mm-hmm. romantic pursuit a lot of the time, but he is like, he's taken an interest in her and he is trying to get her attention.
Yeah.
And then eventually that does happen and they have like a work hang at a bar in which his friend Mackenzie says like, hey, do you want a boyfriend? And we'll talk about this whole conversation mm-hmm. when we get to the discussion. But basically she says that she's not really into having a boyfriend, but they...
He's like, she's saying it, but she doesn't mean it. I'm going to yeah. change her. Me and my 4-inch penis are going to change her life.
Her silly woman mind doesn't know what it needs. Or
me and my...
Wants.
Right. He's all like,
the most flaccid man to ever take breath. she will be mine.
Yeah, so then they do start dating. And throughout the whole course of their relationship, she tends to be kind of distant. She tells him that she's not really looking for anything serious. He is, meanwhile, in love with her.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever he thinks that she's not into him or whenever she breaks up with him, he falls apart and has to consult his toxic friends and his mm-hmm. sister, who is a character who has never existed in the world.
Just a wise
we'll talk about that.
Child. Just a wise, I love a wise child.
Yeah, we'll get into that
the
weird
wise
trope.
Wise child trope ruins me. I hate yeah. it. It's so fucking lazy.
Do you think they all go to school together and that's why they're so they're... wise?
Just the most insufferable group of pretentious little, like, actually kids
yes.
ever.
That should be a YouTube video of just like cutting all of those kids in conversation together.
Every yeah. There it just oh, it's horrible. And the I feel like it's also, and we can, when we talk about that character more in depth, I feel like she, that character is fully exploited as a way to make Tom seem like not a bad guy.
Because
it's
sure.
like, oh, he's so nice to his little sister and he's yeah. clearly a good role model for her and they're so close. But like, if you deconstruct that even a little bit, it's just like the screenwriter grasping at straws of like, how can I make this guy not look like a shithead? Let yeah. me put the story out of order. Mm-hmm. Let me yeah. give him friends who are worse than him. Let me give him a sister. So yeah. it's like he doesn't hate all women.
Yeah.
He has a sister, you yeah, know. Exactly. Oh, it's such sneaky shit yeah. at play here.
Mm-hmm.
So basically the story ends with them breaking up, him being distraught over it, and then she gets engaged and then married and mm-hmm. he's all like, oh, but you said you didn't want a boyfriend and now you're somebody's wife and what, I don't understand what was wrong with me that you didn't love me. And then this sort of, this is the catalyst that gets him to be like, oh, I should pursue my architect degree. I'm going to go on a job interview to become an architect. Ugh, and there.
Another lazy yeah. movie job that does, like, mm-hmm. architect. That's almost like, oh, does Zooey Deschanel work at a gallery? This is also yeah. our second recent episode we've done that features the greeting card company trope, one I hate.
Oh, from the movie yeah. Her?
Her. They're, uh-huh. And now this of like another coded sensey boy thing of like, he's too sensitive for the greeting card company. We what? Love him.
What a beta.
I know. Yeah.
And I want to be clear Ugh. That we don't, I am fine with men in real life who are emotionally sensitive and vulnerable. I don't want to sound like we're being like, ooh, sensey
oh,
boys.
No.
But the way yeah. that movies often depict that
mm-hmm.
character is that they are still extremely toxic, those men, but we right. are led to believe because they're so sensitive and because they know how to write I love you into a greeting card, we are supposed to sympathize mm-hmm. with them yeah. so much.
It's just
so.
A self-serving sensitivity where
exactly.
it's only, they're still selfish. Like, it's like, no, like, I mean, I'm dating a very sensitive guy, but he thinks out of himself all the time and
right.
cares about
right.
other people and puts
yeah.
them before him. And like, at no point do any of these guys in these movies ever do that.
Right.
Yeah,
it's only
no.
about them.
We love when men are expressive. It doesn't happen enough in the real world. But
yeah.
this character, like, the reason I feel fine making fun of it is because it's all false. It's
exactly.
not real at all.
Mm-hmm.
So yesterday, Jack O'Brien brought this to my attention. Joseph Gordon-Levitt revisited this too. And he tweeted literally yesterday. It's August 7th today. He tweeted mm-hmm. this yesterday. Someone tweeted, still haven't forgiven Zooey Deschanel for what she did to Joseph Gordon-Levitt in 500 Days of Summer. And then JGL, to his credit, responded, watch it again. It's mostly Tom's fault. He's projecting. He's not listening. He's selfish. Luckily, he grows by the end. I was like, oh.
Okay, oh, so good. Our he's acknowledging that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyways, sorry.
So the movie ends. He goes on this interview during which he meets another cute gal. And he's like, oh, I'm going to seize the day. I'm going to ask her out. Then he's like, oh, what's your name? And she's like, Autumn. And we're like,
I also stood up at that point. It was just a series of me just standing in rage and then sitting back down. I felt trapped in my own home.
That time I did actively hiss when that, I know, because I forgot that happened at the end. I was like, no.
Does that mean whenever they break up, he meets a girl named Winter? Like, what are we meant to believe here?
He's going
to
end up with a solstice. That's what he's going to end up with. He's like, I need something more whimsical than summer, please.
So that is the story. We've already kind of touched on some of the tropes that we see from different characters, some of the problems that the movie just slaps us in the face with. Well, I suppose a good place to begin,
shall we start,
is the way that a lot of the characters use language to disparage women, to disparage queer people, other marginalized groups of people.
Yep.
Like, so for example, whenever Tom's sister, whose name is Rachel, comes over, this is the very beginning of the movie, she comes over to console Tom after his breakup with Summer. His friends are there as well, and they're all like, oh, maybe she's just in a bad mood. Maybe she's hormonal. His sister's like, PMS, maybe.
That was crazy.
So bad.
I was like, oh, God, it's just her hormones. Don't worry.
Right. Her having agency and making a choice to not be in a relationship anymore that she didn't want to be in, that's her having PMS.
Yeah.
Can we just sign up for 1 second? Yeah. This movie also takes place in Los Angeles, but it does not feel like Los Angeles. It desperately wanted to be in New York, but they couldn't do it in New York. They
couldn't afford it.
So they were just downtown the entire time. Because when the little girl comes over, Rachel's sister, she just is speeding over on a bike, and then she takes off her helmet, goes inside, and I was like, literally no one in LA wears helmets. What are we?
And there's a scene where it's pouring rain.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be this emotional thing where she shows up in the rain, she's drenched, and it's it rains in LA once a year.
Yeah. You get one week a year and it rains, and then it doesn't rain the rest of the time. I just felt gaslit at every moment of this movie, especially in the setting of it, where I was just like, I know what Los Angeles is, and this does not feel like we're in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm.
It took me a while to realize that the sister is Chloe Grace Moretz.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Too. Mm-hmm. So, man, not an auspicious beginning.
Mm-hmm. No.
No. But thankfully, she graduated to better material like the Louis C.K. movie.
Oh. She's in that one.
Oh, she is. Boy. He is daddy.
Oh,
yes. In that one. So there's, should we start with Tom or Summer? I don't know.
It's hard because Summer isn't a person.
Right. I would argue we know very little about Summer, and we know a lot about a construction of Summer that isn't an actual person, which is something we can talk about right after the break.
Yeah. So we'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender-inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future.
It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Oh, hello. We're still back.
We're back.
We actually, like, very quickly went to Australia.
Been on holiday.
So, yeah, let's talk about Summer. The backstory she's given during the kind of opening sequence of the movie where we're learning a little bit about her and about Tom. What we know about her backstory is some voice-over narration that says, after the disintegration of her parents' marriage, she only loved two things, her long, dark hair, and how easily she could cut it off and feel nothing. And it's just like, really, this is how you're characterizing this person?
Yeah.
Like, it's such a one-dimensional characterization that it's embarrassing. Like, the writer should feel embarrassed.
Yeah. No, it's a really embarrassing sentence.
Don't worry, he
doesn't.
Don't worry, he's for sure very proud of what he's done.
Also, it's just like, so you're setting her up to be a murderer? Is that what you're trying to do here?
Right.
Because it's like, as she got older, she loved just torturing cats and feeling nothing.
Right.
It's like, what are we talking about?
But it's made to be very cute and attractive the way that he does it. And, okay, Zooey Deschanel, how do we feel? Because I feel generally that Zooey Deschanel gets a bad rap that is not necessarily fair and perhaps a little bit gendered in the way that she's been treated in her career. And I like her.
Okay. You're allowed.
It's okay. It's totally fine. Yeah. I've heard personal stories that she's a piece of shit. So that colors a lot for me.
Sure.
Yeah. And like the leaning into the tweeness of it is just like, I get it. We all have brands and stuff. I just like also this movie was very hard to watch in 2018 with the world that's happening around us right now, because I was like, shouldn't you be like rollerblading at a march or something? I feel like you should be doing something like twee in a space that matters of some kind. You should be like phone banking in footy pajamas or some shit.
Right.
Yeah.
I would say I'll fall in the middle of you two being just kind of ambivalent about her. Like, I watched several seasons of New Girl. I thought it was generally pretty funny, but I don't dislike her. I don't like her. But I would agree that many of the roles that she takes in entertainment are this, like, very twee. I don't even know if I would classify at least this role as a manic pixie dream girl type. It's more like chill pixie dream girl.
Yeah.
But she dresses like her mom is the CEO of ModCloth. Like, it's a whole...
Well, and it's like, it's more like the embrace of, like... The thing is, that stereotype is, like, a sacred text of, like, the incel nation, basically. Like, the manic pixie dream girl. And for her to, like, take on those roles without, like, being like, but this is wrong and stupid all the time, to me, is, like, feels a little irresponsible.
Sure.
Yeah, I just feel like... Generally, and I know nothing about this woman personally.
Yeah, yeah.
But I guess where I fall on it generally is I think if a man was doing the same thing that she does, in that she takes the same role frequently, it's not a positive role, people come down harder on her and she is more reviled because woman.
Right. Yeah. No, I think that's definitely true. Yeah.
So that's just something, I don't know. And this is something that I guess it's more warranted for her than, you know, it was just like this very popular hot take to have for a while of like, Anne Hathaway is a bitch. Just, I hate her face and I hate blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And like, it was very cool to not like Anne Hathaway. And when Anne Hathaway literally didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And that's just something, I mean, Zooey Deschanel's peak twee white lady, and that has its own set of issues to unpack. But I just, it does, like, I don't know, the like hot take of like Zooey Deschanel sucks and like her and bangs and blah blah blah. It's every actor has that. Every actor has the role they take over and over and they don't examine it. It doesn't make her better, but I just feel like people come down on her harder.
I mean, you're right, because there are plenty of, you know, actors who have been pretty typecast who, I mean, Bruce Willis plays the same role over and over again.
Yeah, for
Jason
sure.
Statham, they all play, definitely, you know, archetypal characters in almost every movie that they're in. But we as a society love those guys. And then we do come down harder on people like Zooey Deschanel for doing the same thing. Those characters that she accepts are vastly different from the archetypes that, like, you know, your action heroes take, but it's still.
But those roles are also not available to her.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah.
I guess to me, it's also like whenever I see her, she channels that in real life a lot too, on like couch pieces and stuff like that, where she also like leans into it in person so much too, that I'm just like, just be genuine. I want to know who, I don't know who she is, and I've never seen that in an interview. And if this is who she is, then that's one thing, but I don't believe that that's true. So just like there's like a disingenuousness about all of it that kind of just like, but why? What's going on here? Because she didn't used to be like that. I remember when, like, she was in Yes Man and, like, early, like, I've seen her.
Yeah, she was in Yes Man.
Yeah, I've seen her in, like, early stuff. And I remember being like, she's fine. And then she just was like, oh, this is my thing. And I'm just, like, always going to have a ukulele every time I'm on Conan. And, like.
Right.
The uke is.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
Uke girl, I can't stand for that.
Mm-hmm. So.
But that was just my, just to get, because I, for this episode, I'm just like, oh my god, everyone's gonna go into our mentions of like Zooey Deschanel. That's just there, we got it out of the way. Now let's talk about the character.
Yeah, that's fine.
So I would say that one of the main things that you do learn about her after you find out that she cuts her hair off and loves it or feels nothing or feels whatever,
loves the feeling of
nothing. Loves the void, addicted to the void.
Yeah.
So her main thing is she
married the Noid.
Sorry. Ooh, got me good.
So her thing is that she doesn't want to be in a relationship, really. Mm-hmm. She's fine with just kind of being independent. And I appreciate that you see a depiction of a woman in a movie who is not obsessed with finding a boyfriend, finding a husband, because so many movies would have you believe that it's all women think about.
Yeah.
Because one, movies be very heteronormative, and two, they just depict most single women as just being obsessed with finding a boyfriend or someone to marry.
A man. Yeah. But then that's like another thing that's interesting about, I don't know, watching it this time. It was like, oh, Summer's way more independent and explicit about that than I remembered. But the movie also does think like, but she does need a good guy.
Yeah.
You know, she's just like, she says that, but it's a defense mechanism, and she really does need a man in her life.
Like, the movie doesn't even believe the character that it wrote.
Right, right. Yeah.
And it demonizes that trait about her, where like she's like, yeah, I don't need no man. But because she doesn't want to be with Joseph Gordon-Levitt, our hero, the movie would have you believe that she is an uppity bitch. And
they literally call her uppity, better than everyone, super skank.
Right.
Yeah.
I want to see more depictions of women in movies who are not obsessed with finding a man. And that's like their one goal throughout the whole story. But also to not have that be demonized like it is in this movie.
Yeah, for sure. What this movie needed was like, you know, the scene at like the party at the end where there's like his expectations versus reality. They needed a split screen of how they both saw every interaction that they had. Like, they never gave her an actual say in any, like, at any point in the movie.
Right.
Even at that point, you're like, oh, poor him. He didn't get the thing that he wanted. Like, it's still not like, from her point of view, she's like, oh yeah, I'll just invite my friend over. I think we're like cool now. You know, it's that at no point do you understand what is going on in her head whatsoever.
And he's such an unreliable narrator because throughout the whole movie, he is so fraught with emotion that he is not seeing things clearly. And we can see that when we watch this movie, but I wonder if like when this movie came out, because we're led to believe that he's like this sensitive guy who deserves love and fuck her for not being in love with him back.
Yeah.
That we're, you know, meant to believe that he's this great guy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we don't see things from her point of view, but we're still like supposed to empathize with him so heavily.
Yeah.
It's very bizarre, all the toxic traits that are passed off as sensitive man. And it's mm-hmm. like, you know, ultimately a bad movie for young men to see. And this was like one yeah. of the movies that young men were seeing. And they're like, I literally remember my high school boyfriend being like, I kind of liked 500 Days of Summer as, a, you know, to like really show his hand uh-huh. of like, I'm a sensitive boy. Yep. But it's like the if you... you know, emulate those behaviors, you're a bad man. This is yeah. a movie about the worst kind of man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because he feels entitled to her. He is extremely possessive the second he meets her.
Mm-hmm.
He starts to view her as property.
Yep.
Something that I, again, on this viewing that I noticed is like around a third of the time we see Zooey Deschanel on screen, it's not even the character, it's him thinking about her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we're seeing the construction of her almost as much as we're seeing the character. And whenever we see the actual character, it's usually an argument, or it's usually
yeah.
she's being a bitch, or like mm-hmm. that's what the movie would have you believe. And the times where she's like soft and so in love with them, it's usually stuff that doesn't even happen.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. or at least, you know, a third mm-hmm. of the time it's something that doesn't even happen. Oh, this
he literally
bad.
Like deconstructs her body and is like, yeah. I love this birthmark and your knees and like this part of your hair and like the weird imperfection in your thing. And it's like, oh, you just like literally just like pulled her body apart. And we're mm-hmm. like, oh, these are the five parts of you that I would make into a soup and drink every day.
Yeah.
Cool, dude.
Yeah. It's like, I just want to turn you into a broth. And how dare they do this to Matthew Gray Goopler? Anyway, sorry, that's just been like on the tip of my tongue this whole time. I love Goobs.
I do not understand that reference.
I love a little bit of Goob. He plays one of Joseph Gordon-Levitt's terrible friends.
Was it the black curly hair guy? Or like the blondie?
Little blondie.
Oh, blondie. Paul.
Yes, Paul. Got it. Paul the blondie. I love me some Goobs. Give me the Goob. I said it before, say it again. Give me the Goob.
But his character is insufferable. His yeah. other friend, Mackenzie's character, is insufferable. Yeah. Which, so I want to go to that conversation.
That's
where...
Jeffrey Arendt?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they are at a bar, have it like a work function, singing karaoke. So it's Summer, it's Tom, and it's Mackenzie sitting in a booth. And Mackenzie goes to Summer. He's like, so do you have a boyfriend? And she's like, no. And he's like, why not? She says, because I don't want one. And he's like, come on, I don't believe that. And she says, you don't believe that a woman could enjoy being free and independent? And then he responds with, are you a lesbian? And she said, no, I'm not a lesbian. I just don't feel comfortable being anyone's girlfriend. I actually don't feel comfortable being anyone's anything. Mm-hmm. And then they talk a little bit more. And later on, she says, I like being on my own. Relationships are messy. People's feelings get hurt. Who needs it? We're young.
Yeah.
Might as well have some fun and do serious stuff later. And then Mackenzie says, holy shit, you're a dude. You're such a dude for saying that. And it's so we can assume the movie thinks that wanting to be single and not wanting to be in a relationship is a guy thing.
Yeah, it's a guy right. quality. She's so cool, she's a man.
Right, exactly. I mean, that's like the guy's gal trope
yeah.
thing that shows up all the time. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Of like, that's something to aspire to, of like, be devastatingly hot and have all these traditionally feminine qualities, but also act like a dude, but yeah. don't look like one.
Right.
Don't have feelings.
Don't, yeah.
It's fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like, be fucking cool.
Just be fucking cool, but also be fucking hot.
Yeah. Like, be cool in the exact way that I want you to be cool. Like, be completely aloof until, like, I desire you. And then be so into me.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, dude.
Right. It is. But she, like, I forgot how explicitly she
yeah.
states it.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's like that there are those good moments in the mm-hmm. movie that seem like almost like it's a mistake.
Yeah.
And then it's later weaponized against her as like, she is a dude and like you know, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. And it's also such a slippery slope for them to characterize Joseph Gordon-Levitt's desire for a relationship as feminine.
Yeah.
Because the way he is in a relationship is scary and weird.
Mm-hmm.
And God, there's that scene where, do you remember the scene where they're in the elevator and he asks her, like, how her weekend was? And she's, like, a little dodgy, uh-huh. doesn't seem to really want to talk to him. Good. She's like, it was good.
Yeah.
And then immediately he gets so mad.
Yeah.
And it's like, she's not good enough for me. Anyways, she's a bitch, blah, 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 blah.
She's fucking somebody. She's fucking somebody all weekend. And it's like, she oh my God.
Nothing. He calls her a skank again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so, oh God.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of, Eliza Skinner made this point on Twitter, so I don't want to like, make,
you know. Friend of the cast.
Yeah, friend of the cast. She was saying how like, there are so many moments where she's just trying to be like, early on where she's just like a woman trying to just navigate being polite to people in her office that he interprets as like one thing or another, where it's like the Smiths thing to her. She's probably like, oh yeah, we're in an elevator. Let me just say something. Oh yeah, I also like the Smiths. And he was just like, oh, it's on.
Yeah.
And it's like, how many times are you just like in a space with a guy and you're just like, yeah, hey, let me make small talk for a second because it's mm-hmm. weird to stand in silence with you.
Right.
And it's just like so much of her is just trying to like exist in a space.
And he's interpreting it, which is why he's such an unreliable narrator and why it's a problem for the movie to be like, hey, look how great this guy is.
Yeah. Right.
But yeah, so she's just like, yeah, I like the Smiths too. And then she like exits the elevator and you see him like visibly splooshing in his pants being like, oh shit, she loves me and I love her.
Oh God, yes, yes, yes. Morrissey's an asshole, and so am I. Oh, it's great. Of course you love Morrissey, you piece of shit.
Literally peak Smiths fan.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Of course.
I just have such a problem with the way that the movie ascribes certain traits as being masculine and other mm-hmm. traits as being feminine, whereby she doesn't run a relationship, so she's a dude, that's a guy thing, and he wants a relationship, so that's almost like emasculating, and that's like make him being feminine, and mm-hmm. it's just like those qualities are not like mutually exclusive to any gender, and it's like, so it subscribes to these like very rigid gender norms.
It's interesting because I feel like men and women have had very different reactions to this movie. Mm-hmm. Like, at least based on my Twitter conversations, it's been defended vehemently by guys. Mm. And like women, I think some, like a lot of women, like especially as you get older and you watch it as you get older, you're kind of just like, I know this guy. We've all like known this dude and like the way that they're sneaky about like how, what a piece of shit they are. They like hide it until they show it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like, yeah, no, this is like something I've had to like dodge my life and had to look out for. Like guys don't have these kind of warning signs to be looking out for in like women.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're just like, oh, yeah. Like it's just, we're just watching two different movies because women are just like, well, yeah, no, it's a warning manual for what not to go after.
Uh-huh.
And men are just like, oh man, you can't have it all.
I think that a lot of people use this movie as a manual, but for very different things.
Absolutely.
Where guys are like, oh, this is, you know, like they mm-hmm. view Joseph Gordon-Levitt, like you're saying, as like scorned.
Yeah.
Mistreated. Uh-huh. God, the scene where he's like, I say we're a couple, God damn it. And you're just like, no, you know, where
is that, where he runs down the staircase and he's like, no, you go ahead. And there's two women in the hallway. And it's like,
screaming.
You're an angry piece of shit.
And then that scene is followed with her showing up at his door, drenched from the rain.
Yeah.
And she's like,
LA Ryan.
Yep.
Right. She's like, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have gotten mad at you. Because this all happens after he punches a guy at a bar because mm-hmm. he threatens his masculinity.
Yep. Yeah.
So there's that scene where a guy comes up, tries to hit on Summer. She's very clear about saying, I'm not interested.
Yeah.
I'm flattered, but I have no interest. Please go over there and leave us alone.
Yeah, she handled it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was done.
Yeah,
it was done. The guy's all like, really, this guy is your boyfriend? Mm-hmm. And then Joseph Gordon-Levitt stands up and mm-hmm. punches him in the face and then gets punched back.
Yeah.
And she is very mad at him, understandably mm-hmm. so.
Right.
Well, and he punches that guy because he's not her boyfriend. He punches him because he can't punch her.
Mm.
Like, to me, it's like that whole scene is just him being like, I'm not even the thing that you think I am. And then fuck you, Summer, for not letting me be the thing. Because it's like, he also earlier could have been like, hey, back off, dude. And then just like, there were moments that he could have also like backed her up, and he never backed her up. The only time that he got mad is when like he was called a boyfriend and he's not a boyfriend.
Well, he only cares about her as it pertains to him.
Yeah.
Outside of that, he has no interest in her.
Yeah.
Right.
And on that note, we're going to take a quick break. Everyone just take a lap. Take a lap.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender-inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer-founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring, and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back.
Woo!
I mean, it's so weird because it's like we're trying to have a conversation about Summer, but we literally don't know enough about her. We know these few twee, like, next bus facts about her hair.
Her parents are divorced. She loves cutting her hair off because she feels nothing.
Well, there's also the divorce narrative, too, I feel like is used to be like, oh, well, that's why she doesn't believe in love. It's like, maybe she just doesn't. Like,
right. She doesn't need that.
We see that also in The Holiday with Cameron Diaz's character.
The Holiday.
Cameron Diaz, like, her parents got divorced when she was 15, and her whole thing now is that she cannot cry. She has not cried since she was 15 years old.
Oh, God.
Because she's so damaged from her parents being divorced 20 years ago.
Directly to hell.
Oh, my God.
So we see, we understand, I guess, why she's so emotionally damaged, and it's because her parents split up when she was younger. And
it's also so crazy because everybody has friends whose parents are divorced, if their parents aren't divorced themselves, who live perfectly fine lives. And it's just such like a lie that it's like, it's just really lazy. Insulting. Yeah, it's lazy and insulting to make that like a thing that we know about her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's a few scenes in this movie that I wanted to just go through because I feel like they have become like semi-modern iconic in ways that are weird. Mm-hmm. The expectations versus reality scene is constantly cited as a joke at this point.
Yeah.
But is something that comes up all the time. And I mean, I think we may have even covered it already, Brandy, because it's like we don't see that from Summer's point of view.
No.
And that scene is very serving to the Joseph Gordon-Levitt character, where it gets a lot of sympathy for him, where he's like, he just wants a girlfriend, but he's drinking a beer at the rooftop party alone. Like, he's at the rooftop party. Another scene that I loved the first time I saw it was the dance scene after he has sex with her.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Which rung to me this time sinister.
Yeah.
As like a conquering kind of thing.
Yeah, right, for sure.
Because she makes it clear in the other, the last iconic scene I wanted to talk about, the IKEA scene, where that was, oh my God, when I was a teenager, forget it. I was like, this is the template for love. This is also something I can afford to do. Yeah.
Let's all go to Burbank.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine the horrible teenagers, just the sweaty hormonal teenagers, yeah, the summer this movie came out, just laying, just spread eagling and dry humping all over the IKEA. The poor summer of 09, probably not a good time to be working at IKEA. But she explicitly...
I got finger banged on top of us. Non.
Hot.
Yes.
But like, she makes it clear to him in the IKEA scene. She says, you know, she kind of establishes the boundary before mm-hmm. they have sex of like, this is fun. You're fun. Like, don't text me walls of text the second you leave my house.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Right. Just have a good time.
This is fun. You know, it seems pretty clear. It was not clear to me when I first saw it. But mm-hmm. she does make that clear. And then he does have sex with her. And then it's this, the fucking returning conqueror sensitive boy where... Mm-hmm. Again, the movie has no idea that it's doing this, but just the implication that... That is like, he got what he wanted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was pursuing this like girl that he was pining over. And then when he finally gets to
following
have sex with her,
around.
It was like the best moment of his life where there's like dancers in the street and mm-hmm. a marching band.
Passionless missionary. Passionless missionary.
Absolutely. Oh, God.
Nothing was going on.
No.
That was some really boring hetero nonsense that was happening.
Doesn't at one point, like the only other relationship he had when he was like in fifth grade or something, that's like a line that they say. Or like your last girlfriend.
He's saying that to his friend Mackenzie.
Oh, okay.
He's like, you don't know what you're talking about. The last girlfriend you had was in seventh grade and you dated for 3 hours.
Oh, okay, got it.
So we don't know a ton about Tom's, but we do know a little bit about Summer's relationship history because mm-hmm. he asks her about it and she's reluctant to talk about it, but mm-hmm. he kind of presses her and she's like, okay, fine. And the one thing I want to mention about that is she's like, oh, for a brief time in college, there was Charlie. And it cuts to what his imagining of Charlie to look like, which is like a guy in a punk band or something like that. And then Summer says, she was nice. And then his face goes, oh, what? And then it cuts to a woman in the same band.
God. Yeah.
What is happening there to me is mm-hmm. it's glossing over a queer relationship.
Yep.
She could not say less about this character, Charlie. And it's also like a suggestion of, oh, it happened in college. So it was just her experimenting. It was a phase. Like,
Very dismissive.
And that leads me to, so I want to go back to how characters talk about women, queer people, etc. For example, there is a moment where Tom is talking to his friends, Paul and Mackenzie, and they're all like, well, what's going on with you and Summer? Like, well, are you
tell
boyfriends
me
or
more,
whatever?
Tell me more. Yeah.
And Tom's like, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. Like, we're adults. We don't need to put labels on it. And then Mackenzie, for no reason, says, you sound gay. And Paul says, you really do. And it's like, what?
What? That scene was baffling. Where, I mean, it is like 2009, and like, I would say we're peak no homo around this mm-hmm. time where
for
guys
sure.
are. And this is not to just really take every opportunity to take a gigantic dump all over Judd Apatow, but I will.
Yeah.
This was like around the time where the Judd Apatow no homo oeuvre was mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. unfolding, where it was like, oh, men can be friends now as long as they constantly state that they could not be gay. And they always have to be, when they're friends, they have to be shitting on women.
Yeah.
But, you know, a real lateral move of mm-hmm. like, men are allowed to be friends. It's not gay to be friends as long as you're always saying it's not gay to be friends. The implication is that gays are bad and women are bad.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Love that guy.
Also demonstrated.
But gay women, cool.
But hot.
Totally hot. Especially in college.
Deport Seth Rogen.
There's a moment.
Send it to North Korea.
So we still need to talk about the sister character, but there's a moment where his sister is like giving him advice about like, oh, you just need to like ask her what you guys are doing in your relationship. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, that sounds hard. And she's like, just do it and just don't be a pussy. And it's mm-hmm. like using that language.
Yeah.
Calling a man a pussy
mm-hmm.
is suggesting that he is weak and effeminate and bad, especially. And then like his 12-year-old sister calling him a pussy.
Annoying.
Like, so let's talk about that character.
I don't even know if I have anything to say other than what an insufferable trope that I hate.
Mm-hmm.
It's awful.
We're so lazy. Yeah. It's a way to, for like usually male writers who don't know how mm-hmm. to write children or, you know, pre-adolescent girls, oh, let's just make her wise beyond her years, make her know exactly how to be an adult. So we see this trope in a couple other movies that I could think of off the top of my head, which was like The Nice Guys.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this happens in Kick-Ass.
Yeah.
Paper Moon. Some people were talking about that. Mm-hmm. I know it's other places. I just can't remember.
Jerry Maguire.
Show. Jerry Maguire. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, little kid is a real smart.
Right. But I'm talking about specifically like 10 to 13 year old girls.
Yeah.
Who seem to only hang out with adults, seem to know how to give the best advice for adult situations. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just such a lazy, tropey. This character, she does not exist. You never met a 12-year-old girl like that.
No, for sure.
And it's just
she's
such
not
a...
even sweating. Yeah. I'm like, 12-year-old girls are never not
She's playing
sweating.
Soccer. Yeah. And she's... The line that she says is, because she's giving him a relationship advice, she tells Tom, you don't want to ask her because you're afraid you'll get an answer that you don't want, which will shatter the illusion of how great the last few months will have been. It's like, that... I'm not smart enough to say that, and I'm 32. Like,
it's incredibly lazy. It's and the way it's using this character is kind of like she's not like the other girls, like that kind of deal where I don't know. This whole movie is very incel. But
it for sure, like, honestly, I was like, there's a subreddit where just shitty little virgins just talk about this movie constantly and are just like,
God, Summer,
she's so mean. Every Summer's a Stacy, like, that's their
They're Chloe Grace Moretz. I mean, I feel for her because she seems like a smart young lady. But boy, has she been thrown some real crummy parts since she was a very young girl.
It's a bummer.
So that character absolutely sucks. And is like, and is used to say mean things about women.
Mm-hmm.
Is sold out by the male screenwriter to be like, well, if a girl says that women are bitches, then it's like his little get out of jail free card.
Yeah, he's like, it's too mean coming from his grown ass adult male friends. So I guess we'll just have the little girl say it instead. And that's her whole purpose, is just to be like another bro.
And then the other tool I feel like he uses is like, when the movie came out, it is... The narrative does a lot to mask what a shitty guy Tom is, mm-hmm. but another way they accomplish that is by giving him shittier friends.
Yeah.
Where Absolutely. They're like, well, he's the best one out of them.
Yeah.
So, of course, she should settle for him. We haven't met a man who's better than him.
Yeah.
But he's awful. He just happens to be the most... you know, nice passing guy in this movie, where everyone else is just straight up.
Yeah.
They just, which is almost more admirable. It's like, at least I know who you are. Where Tom, God, the whole thing where he's sketching out the skyline. I'm like, do you know that architects build one building at a time? What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. This isn't how you're an architect. Idiot. This is not how to be an architect.
Yeah.
You're just painting, you're drawing skylines.
It's
just being an architect.
Right. Is his dream to build 12 buildings? He just wants to build Los Angeles? That's his dream?
Yeah. Those buildings are already done. I just want to sketch.
It's done.
Yes. Yeah. It's finished. I just want to sketch the most boring postcards. I think he's moving from greeting cards to postcards.
Oh, and this scene where he's like, this is bullshit. And, you know, when he's like lashing out at work, he's like, love is actually more complicated than a card. And it's like, wow, hot take, you fucking genius. Ugh. Yeah. Good. Ugh, what a fucking narc loser. Say, he's basically a cop. I hate him.
Yeah. Tom is definitely a cop. Abolish Tom.
In that monologue he's giving, he does say that it's like pop songs and greeting cards and movies that have like fed him the lies of what romance is, which goes to show. And it's also
true.
In the very beginning, like the voiceover is saying that he had this belief that he would never be happy until he met the one, which stemmed from sad British pop music and a total misreading of the movie The Graduate, which Just goes to show how influential media is.
Yeah.
Right.
How movies lead us astray all the time.
Right.
I also, on that note, there's, I guess, a visual joke. It's a scene where Tom and Summer go to the movies, and it shows the marquee of the movie that they're seeing, and it reads, part vampire, part giant, vagiant. Which I guess is supposed to be a vagina joke.
I it's not my least favorite joke I've ever heard.
Yeah.
And I have to, that's something I have to fight.
Yeah.
it's my favorite part of the movie.
For that.
I think. The bar is so low, though.
My favorite part of the movie is when it cuts to a screen that Han Solo is on and he like gives a little wink.
That part's pretty great.
That glimmer of Star Wars was my favorite part of 500 Days of Summer.
I like the goob.
I honestly just kept watching and being like, you know what would make this movie great? If, like, she took off her skin and was an alien. At one point, I just kept being like, what would make me like this? And I was like, oh, if, like, all of her, like, I don't want a relationship is because she's from Mars.
Well, at one point, whenever Tom is on the date with this other girl, and I want to talk about that scene.
Oh, yeah.
But he's all like, I can only come to two conclusions. She's either just an emotionless, stupid bitch, or she's a robot. And that would have been, like, that if she had just, like, turned out to be a Terminator.
Just powers down.
Go for
home.
It.
Yes.
That's a great. I love that.
Yeah. Make that turn in the movie. I was like, where's that third act? Where she's just like, and then she fights Mothra. Great. Done.
I was reading, I was just sort of going through some of the stuff that's been written about, because a lot of people's viewing of this movie has changed over the years, rightfully so. I found an interesting post from, I don't know what her full name is. Her name is Jen, and she wrote a really wonderful, comprehensive piece about this. And she names, because the conversation around this movie is a very manic pixie dream girl, and that's true, and that's present in a lot of movies, but she names the Joseph Gordon-Levitt character depressive entitled fantasy lad, DEFL, and I really liked that.
Yeah.
Because that's absolutely what he is. The entitlement is something that just never hit with me the first time I saw it, but it's so... You know, that line, I love how she makes me feel, you know, like he doesn't love her at all. And just that it's such a common thing in relationships coming from the man, especially just in my personal experience of like someone just having an idea of you and then getting to know you makes them angry.
Yeah.
Which is horrible. And that's exactly what happens in this movie. The better he gets to know her, the less he likes her, because he doesn't actually like her.
Right.
He wants a specific thing and has found the correct vessel to project onto.
But also, how could he like her? Because we know nothing about her. Like, nothing about her personality is really established. There's a moment toward the beginning, there's more voiceover narration where the voiceover says, there's only two kinds of people in the world. There's women and there's men, which, one, that fails to acknowledge that gender is a spectrum.
That fails everything.
Yeah, that there are many people
who... 2009. Ooh, come on!
What about all the people who do not fall within that gender binary? Anyway, and then it goes on to say that Summer Finn was a woman. Whenever she worked at an ice cream parlor, everyone went to it. And whenever she tries to rent an apartment, everyone gives her a discount. And like all this stuff where I recently learned about the Mary Sue trope. And I was curious to see what you guys thought about whether or not she falls into that trope. If you're not familiar, Mary Sue's, and it's kind of hard to classify because a lot of people kind of interpret it different ways. Yeah. But from what I gather, a Mary Sue is a trope female character in which she is essentially perfect. She has no real discernible flaws. Mm-hmm. Her beauty is coveted by everyone. Everyone thinks she's marvelous and great. Mm-hmm. But aside from that, she's also just underdeveloped. Like, those are the only things we really know about her. It's more common in, I think, fan fiction, from what I understand, this trope.
Oh, gotcha.
But there's also, like, Bella Swan is cited as, like, the quintessential Mary Sue, where, like, everyone loves her, even though she's, like, ordinary.
What's
she's, like,
Bella
very
Swan?
From Twilight.
Oh, I don't know. That's for sure not for me.
Just the look of sheer shutdown rejection that came over Brandy's face just now. Was just, oh, no.
It's for sure
No. That's going to be a no.
But
I guess I didn't hear that term until Fury Road came out. because Charlize Theron's character, I mean, maybe it's been around before that, but because to me, everyone was like trying to tear down that movie because Charlize's character is a Mary Sue.
Oh, that interesting.
Yeah. That's how I think of it, as like more of like an action. In my head, it's more of like an action hero. Like she has all of the skills to like solve a plot point, kind of.
I became aware of it through superhero movies, of like the token woman in an action movie, or the token woman in a superhero movie, because that is like almost uniformly the case until very recently, and still sometimes anyways.
Got it. Yeah. Okay, yes. I think there are those kind of different interpretations, where I also, I like watched a video where people were saying that Rey from the new Star Wars is a Mary Sue type, because she can do everything right away, and she's perfect and everyone loves her. But
I don't necessarily think Summer fits this category. And the more I like was watching it this time, I don't necessarily even know that she is a manic pixie dream girl in the way that like Natalie Portman is in or Kirsten Dunst in Elizabethtown was like where the was the source of Nathan Rabin, the writer for the AV Club, even naming the trope. But
well, because she's not manic is the thing, but she I would say is a pixie dream girl.
But that's because we see her so often in someone else's thoughts, you know, where it's like, I don't know, the character itself, it seems like there's more there that the movie just isn't interested in. So I don't really know what to do with that, where it seems like there is like some complex stuff about her that Tom never inquires into because he doesn't really care.
Yeah.
So we see her as a manic pixie dream girl, or at least a pixie dream girl. But I don't think that that's actually what the character is.
That's
I don't
what
know.
He wants.
Yeah, that's what he wants.
He wants her to be that. So he's like, he stops looking beyond. He's just like, your favorite Beatles, Ringo. You're such a pixie dream girl. Meanwhile, I don't know who his favorite Beatle is. You fucking coward.
You're
How about you match it and you tell me who you think is the best?
He likes Paul.
Oh, yeah. He's
No, he likes Lennon because he wants to hit a woman really bad.
No, for sure. He's definitely a John Lennon guy.
Oh, yeah.
I love John Lennon and Morrissey, and they're just like really good guys.
Yeah, it's like, oh, are you also investing in crypto, you fucking psycho? Oh,
he loves Bitcoin.
God, he loves crypto.
Oh, yeah. That should be added to that. to that. And then entitled Bitcoin Bro Lad. Oh, entitled Bitcoin.
Will you accept crypto for this Morrissey vinyl? Hi, I'm a murderer. Like,
can we talk about the one of the only other female characters in this movie, which is the girl that he goes on a date with after he's been broken up with?
Poor woman.
This character's name is Allison. How that?
That's her first mistake. She should have been New Moon or something.
Her name is January, and so they go on a date. He treats her like absolute shit. He tells her very upfront, saying, this isn't going anywhere, because basically I'm in love with someone else. He only talks about Summer. He only talks about how he's heartbroken over her. And then we see a moment where she's like, okay, let me get this straight. She never cheated on you. She never took advantage of you. And she told you up front that she didn't want a boyfriend. And we, as the audience, are like, oh, maybe he's going to come to a realization.
Is this the moment?
Nope.
And
nope.
Instead, he goes, I have a great idea. Let's go to sing karaoke. So, like, you see him continuing to be the entitled guy that he is, having no self-awareness, having no idea how he has approached this whole relationship with Summer, has been completely wrong and entitled and bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, he learns nothing. Poor, Allison, she didn't do anything wrong.
No, she didn't.
She was so patient with him.
She was. Good for her for second locationing with him.
Right?
I would have been like, I think I'm done.
We really saw Allison do some serious emotional labor that night for a strange man who hated her. I've been Allison. I don't know.
Well, I think we all probably
have. Yeah, ever gone on a date with a man who's like, let me talk about my ex-girlfriend the whole time, and also I hate you. They're like, oh cool, I'll sink 6 months into this. Let's do it.
Also, as a former karaoke host, this guy for sure doesn't tip. You can tell he's not a tipper.
Definitely not.
You can just see it in all of his choices.
He has a 4chan account. Like, this, there's something wrong with this man.
Also, like, one of the many points where I had to be like, do not check out, was also when she sang Sugarland, or whatever that song is.
Sugartown. Yeah, Sugartown. She went full Nancy.
Yeah, she sang Sugartown, but they didn't have Born to Run in that karaoke.
Right?
It was just a way to drop I also like Bruce Springsteen. Mm-hmm. How dare you? How, as a former KJ, that is not how the books work.
And I'm a karaoke massive, jockey?
Yeah. That's what we're called.
Former KJ. I'm surprised that that wasn't included in your intro.
I was going to plug it in the outro.
Hey, ladies, former KJ.
Yeah, I'm just like a former KJ. that just made me mad. I was like, she has to sing the tweeest song just to like make her like even more, you know, like ethereal mm-hmm. and everything.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, the song that she chooses as a frequent karaoke mm-hmm. attendee, mm-hmm. A KA, if you will, you want other people to sing fun songs that you can sing along to and all have an uproarious time. Uh-huh. Her song choice is stupid.
It's a bad choice.
Like, no one wants to sing along with that. No one's having a good time with that song. Rude.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Some hot karaoke takes. I'm too scared to do karaoke. I'm a baby.
Really?
I've never done it.
The trick is really you have to get really drunk.
I'm good at that. Not the karaoke part. I don't know.
I want to talk about the scene that happens in the copy room after there's a surprise kiss mm-hmm. in this movie where it's the Friday night where they're all at karaoke. Mm-hmm. His drunk friend, Mackenzie, is like, he likes you.
He is the 4chan account guy.
Oh, for sure. He's on 8chan now. He for sure is.
And then whenever Summer's like, is that true? Do you like me? Joseph Gordon-Levitt's like, no, as friends maybe, but I don't like you. Because he's an immature little asshole.
Yeah.
Then the weekend passes and they're in the office together in the copy room. They kind of look at each other mm-hmm. and then she just like saunters up to him and plants a right on his face.
Yeah.
First of all, they're at work. Like, not appropriate.
Technically harassment.
Workplace harassment. Yeah. And, you know, he's into it because he fucking loves her or loves the idea of her. But yeah, it's just like, really? That's how
so much of it was also like looking back as it is recollections of him. I'm always halfway through the movie. I was like, is any of this even the way things happened and true? Like, is this all just like your memory of like, and then she sauntered up to me and she fucking planted one on me in the copy room.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Like, how much so skewed.
Yeah.
Or did it happen where he was like leering over her and mm-hmm. then she turned around and he was like, oh, her turning around means she wants to kiss.
Yeah. And then I kissed her and then she was my ward for.
Also, it's fully 290 days of summer and then 210 days of Joseph Gordon-Levitt not being able to accept a breakup.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They break up on day 290 and then mm-hmm. he stalks her. And then can we talk about where the movie leaves off? Because mm-hmm. this is Joseph Gordon-Levitt decides he's going to build 500 buildings. Yeah. He draws another skyline. He's like, me going to get a job. I was like, for what? For you have to pick one, and they can't be buildings that are already there.
You have to design your own building.
He's so stupid.
He has not had an original thought in the entire movie, and that includes being an architect.
Right. So like, he's so stupid. Yeah. But there's a scene at the end where he's once again drawing buildings that already exist outside and sees Summer, and she's in a new relationship because she has to be in a mm-hmm. relationship.
Of course.
And he kind of got good luck chucked mm-hmm. where she met someone who wasn't a total, maybe he is a total chode. We don't know because the movie doesn't care about Summer. But she's like, oh, I'm with someone now. I'm in a relationship and I'm happy. And I think that this is a sticking point for a lot of the incels who are like, she was lying. She did want a relationship the mm-hmm. whole time. And she was just leading him on and blah, blah, blah. She never leads him on. She always tells him that she doesn't want to be in a relationship with him. Probably because he sucks. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, he's the hero because he's able to sort of accept it. And now he's going to build a building that exists already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
I hate him.
And again, we're meant to believe, like, whenever they meet up again at the park toward the end of the 500 days of summer, mm-hmm. you know, she's all like, I'm somebody's wife. How crazy is that? It was fate. I just knew when he's the one. And the movie frames it so that the audience is supposed to think, oh man, what a bitch for not choosing him. Yeah. What a bitch for not choosing Tom, this sensitive, wonderful guy that we've grown to love. And it's like, no, like the movie so irresponsibly frames so many of those scenes and situations like that. And you know, when we revisit this movie, we realize, oh no, like, yeah. He is the bad guy. He is a possessive creep.
Well, even like the way that she talks in that scene feels like him telling Mackenzie what happened at the park. To be like, and now I'm a wife. Oh my God.
Does this whole movie
my bangs
take place in his head? Like, do we ever actually meet Summer?
It's just like the most insufferable being John Malkovich of all time, being inside like the head of an incel.
I do want to see like Summer like talking to her friends of like, yeah, there's a guy I'm dating and just like whatever. It's just because I don't know. I've been in situations like that where I'm like, yeah, just like really nothing else is happening. And, you know, I don't think he's going to kill me. Sometimes I'm just like, I don't think he's going to murder me. And they're so sure. Great. Yeah. It seems like it would be more trouble because he's an emotional psychopath. And so it would be more difficult to break off than just like have sex with him every once in a while and appease this emotional vampire.
Exactly.
That's how I picture her talking about him.
I'm like, well, he bought me Swedish meatballs once, so
he has $2.
Yeah.
So that's fun.
I want to talk more about that IKEA scene where when they're like goofing around, they're having fun and their sink is broken and like tee hee hee. They're lying on a bed at one point and then he like looks up and he's like, Summer, I don't know how to tell you this, but there's a Chinese family in our bathroom. And then it cuts to this family and they're all like, and then they walk away. And it's just another example of how the white straight characters in this movie talk disparagingly about marginalized people where it's like, one, how do you know they're Chinese specifically?
Yeah.
Two, like, that's played for a joke, as in, like, what's this ethnic family doing here, ruining our perfect white hetero moment?
Yeah, exactly. And, why would they want to look at a bedroom?
Right, exactly. Why would they be in a Swedish blonde store? Yeah. And
this movie is painfully Caucasian.
Oh,
yeah.
God. Yvette Nicole Brown is in it for a second.
Yes, and her talents are way underused because I love her. I think she's very funny.
Yeah, she's great.
But and then there's a moment in the park where they're screaming penis over and over again.
Yeah.
And then people are like, why are they screaming penis? And they're like, it's okay, we have Tourette's. And it's like, no, okay, you're making fun of a disability now.
Yeah.
Cool. There's another moment when they're
also, like you're not in 10th grade. Like, you know what I mean?
I hate,
like, they're the like penis in their late 20s.
Yeah, if you can vote, you can't play the penis game anymore. I'm sorry, you're done.
I love that limitation. Yes. I remember after that where boys were doing that again at school, and I, you know, listen, I'm a grown adult, and I have been since I was 13 years old. I do not play the penis game.
Yeah.
Wow, brag.
That's, I guess that's all I have to say.
Also, why's it gotta be the penis game? Why can't it be a vagina game?
Yeah, vagina.
Yes. Yeah.
That feels like
I don't
want
to play that game out.
No, I don't want to either.
Grow up.
I do want to go see the movie Vagiant.
Yeah.
What's it about? I don't know.
I can't wait to do our episode on teeth.
Oh, yes.
That'll be a thrill.
There's also a moment where Tom is on the phone with Mackenzie and he's like, are you coming to this wedding? And Mackenzie's like, I'm not going to go to that wedding. It's going to be old people. Because old people are gross. I mean,
old people also turned out to be code for black.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That wedding is very weird. I was like, what's happening? I don't know what to do with this information. Because they're basically the only two white people at like an all African-American wedding.
Yeah.
Right.
And I was like, what is this choice?
Whose wedding was that?
That was some of their colleagues.
Yeah, some co-workers.
Okay. Yeah, co-workers' wedding.
I was like, what? Did you realize you needed to be diverse? And you were like, well, we have the wedding
scene. We have one scene,
We'll just put all the black people in one wedding scene.
And none of them get to talk.
No.
Or, you know, play any significant role in the story.
It's like set dressing. It's the Wes Anderson thing of using minorities as set dressing.
Right.
So that if anyone ever challenges, why are there only white people in your movie? He's like, oh, no, they're in the background all the time. You know, like, and where
they're in the background, not talking, not having any characterization.
Also worth saying that Mark Webb, who is just the throbbing chode behind this movie, has gone on to have a very successful film career. He directed the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man movies.
Those are bad though, especially the second one.
He's bad. Last year he made a movie that I couldn't get through. I tried to go see as a joke and I could not get through it. That movie, Gifted, about the child we're talking about, the really smart kid.
Oh. Who, talent like it is kid.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, on that note, this movie is directed by a man, written by two men. It's this story is being told through the lens of this male character. Yeah. It's like so much male perspective. And
it's about his
breakup, too. Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. Like, it would have been, this movie would have been interesting with a female director to like tamper some of that and to mm-hmm. be like, let's balance this more. And like, yeah. there's a way to tell this story correctly.
Sure.
You know?
But yeah, it's not this movie.
This is not it.
I do, yeah, I do want to see a version of this movie where he's punished.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. She like lets out one of her tendrils at the end and is just like, I was a Martian the whole time. Slurp. Chomp, chomp, chomp.
Does anyone have any other final thoughts about this movie?
This movie is bad. People should stop watching it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not a fun hate watch.
No.
It is just, it sucks, and it'll remind you of a version of yourself you won't like very much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This movie was like very well reviewed when it came out. Big success.
Of course.
My favorite glowing review of this movie was that it was the best romantic comedy since Love Actually.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah,
so.
A great movie.
Fuck this movie. The end.
Yeah, it's really, I screen grabbed a couple of reviews because they made me very, very fucking angry. This is great. Sometimes you never ever truly figure out why these mysterious creatures break your heart. How's that for a line?
Mysterious creatures being robots / aliens?
Yeah. Yeah. I will say the World Socialist website gave it a negative review. They're very they're smart for doing that. They like were like, this is bad.
It sucks. I mean, it sucks from every angle too, where it's like lazily written. Bad for women, mm-hmm. bad for men, bad mm-hmm. for the entire spectrum of gender is punished in this movie. It's sure a bad is. Punishing experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Everyone loved it.
And it's also me. Like tries to play itself off as like, I feel like now the damage control has been like, but it's satire. And it's like, no, it's not.
It's no,
it's not satire.
That was never the sure. intent.
That's not the intent of this movie at
it
all.
It comments on nothing. Nothing is subverted by this movie.
One of my Twitter chodes was like, it's like it's just like Starship Troopers. And I'm like,
hello?
How dare you? Number one, do not come for Starship Troopers.
Do not come ever again.
Yeah, you don't deserve to come. You're done. you're done coming. But he was like, it's a satire just like that. And I was like, no, it's not. That's not the point of it.
Yeah. I guess I need to revisit Starship Troopers.
It's pretty fun.
Okay. Great.
That one probably actually does pass the Bechdel test, I think. I'd be surprised. I'd be interested in that.
Well, speaking of
which, it's like, oh, here's Caitlin's chance.
I love a good transition.
That's how you know I'm a good podcast guest. I was like, I see the clock. I see where we're going.
You're no stranger.
Does 500 Days of Summer pass the Bechdel test? No.
Not even close.
Not
really.
Even close. I don't
actively
think
avoided it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really goes out of its way. Yeah.
I don't think two female characters even interact in this entire movie.
No.
I think this movie's over if two women talk in this movie because they'd be like, Joseph Gordon-Levitt's kind of a fucking jerk. Like and then you know, we cut it off at day 4 and I'll go home.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, you're right.
Imagine the conversation between Allison, the girl that he goes on one date with, and Summer, and they just be like, remember when we like spent any time with that guy?
Yeah.
Ugh, he sucked.
He was a nothing.
Weird guy. Yeah, like in retrospect, Joseph Gordon-Levitt's like, "Oh, remember that weird guy at work who like was obsessed with you?"
Yeah.
Man. He's trying to be an architect now, but I don't think he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he just draws skyline of existing buildings.
Yeah, it's just buildings that are already there. He went to school for it.
Right.
I just don't know how he has a degree.
Buildings are there.
They already exist.
They're done.
He's just drawing the World Trade Center over and over again. What's just happening?
Go to a space that's empty, void of buildings.
Yes.
And then make one.
Also, you know that iconic LA skyline.
Right.
So dumb. This movie does really want to take place in New York very badly.
Very badly.
Well, yeah, shall we rate the movie on our nipple scale?
Yeah.
So we rate the movie based on its portrayal of women, a 0 to 5 nipple rating scale. I'm going to go ahead and give it, I'll say a 1 nipple. I'm giving it that many and not fewer because I do like that for a split second, if we just kind of ignore all the other context of the movie, we see representation of a woman who is not like marriage obsessed and not going gaga over, you know, trying to find a boyfriend. Mm-hmm. But because that trait of hers is demonized in this movie and made to seem like she's a bitch because she doesn't want to instantly marry Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character, that is one of the many problems of this movie. This movie is also extremely white, extremely hetero. It doesn't do as badly as some movies we've seen in queer bashing, but it's certainly not an ally.
No, no. They're not. There's no queer characters. Mm-mm. So it's just like,
unless you count Summer's one queer relationship in college, which again is so glossed over that we can hardly even begin to understand what that was. And it's just, it's us supposed to be sympathizing with an extremely entitled, possessive guy who the movie would want you to think is this super sensitive, wonderful person, when in reality he sucks. And Summer's character is wildly underdeveloped. The sister character is that stupid trope, that really dumb trope. Lazy. That does not, no 12-year-old girls are like that.
Nope.
Yeah, there's just so many problems with it. And I give it one nipple, and that nipple belongs to, I guess, Allison, the girl that he goes on one date with and treats like shit.
Because
she deserves more. And yeah, she was like the one rational female character that we see.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm giving this movie no nipples at all. I would give it negative if I could. I stand for Zooey Deschanel in that I find her to be more sympathetic than whatever. Went through that. But I think seeing this movie as a teenager had a negative effect on my life. Mm-hmm. And I resent that. It affected for sure my behaviors around boys. Mm-hmm. It affected how I would allow myself to be treated. Mm-hmm. And like where it's like you see a movie where, and this is, I mean, this movie is not the sole source of this, but just like because I was the exact right age to get all the wrong messages from this movie when it came out, and so was everyone I went to school with. Yeah, I mean, it affected the way I viewed myself. It affected the way I assigned value in a relationship. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that it just it did nothing good for anyone, and it did make Joseph Gordon-Levitt a huge star. And then he went on to play the role a million times, and no one ever gave him trouble about it. Anyways, this movie fucking sucks, and I have no nipples to give.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. I will give it also zero nipples. Mm-hmm. Or, like, I had a breast reduction a few years ago. I'll give it the leavings of my old boobs. You get a couple of pieces.
Your scraps.
The remnants.
You get my tit scraps. There you go. That's all you deserve, because you should be confronted with something that is real at some point. So that's what you get. The only way that you should be allowed to watch this movie is with a woman in your 30s sitting next to you with a remote control that they can pause and then hit you with a newspaper if you agree with something that just happened. It's the only way that you can watch this movie.
Everyone, see if Brandy will agree to watch this movie with you. Venmo her $1 million and maybe she'll consider it.
I would
love to watch you watch this movie. It's been really...
I was just angrily petting my dog last night. It's like, you just became a therapy animal.
Yeah, this movie is garbage. It's done. I wash my hands of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, Brandy, thank you so much for coming on this journey with us.
Thank you for having 500 me.
500 hours of talking about Summer. Where can people follow you online? What would you like to plug?
I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Brandazzle. You can find me there. And then my website's brandyposey.com, and that has all my tour dates and deets. I'm on the road like 4 or 5 months out of the year, so I go all over the place. I'm a stand-up, so I'm pretty fun live. Come hang out. I promise I'm a good time. And then I have a podcast called Lady to Lady. That's myself, Barbara Gray, and Tess Barker. And we have like a different guest on every week. And you guys have both been on.
Mm-hmm, it's true.
Yeah, it's a real silly fun time. We just kind of gab and have a good time. And basically live a Bechdel life at all times.
Great.
feels real good. yeah, find me there. I have a show in LA monthly called Picture This. That's comedians paired up with animators. And they live animate your jokes behind you during their set. And it's very silly. And it's the Virgil monthly. And then we do that around the country a little bit too. But Brandazzle and BrandyPosey.com has all that info.
And of course, don't forget your illustrious career as a KJ.
Yes.
A karaoke. Oh, yeah.
Where did you KJ back in the day, Jay?
All-Star Lanes and Eagle Rock.
Oh, yeah. Good. That's us. Wow.
I like that place. I bowl there.
Wow. You know, brag.
Yeah. I bowl.
I bowl.
Bowling alley, dive bar, karaoke lounge, Chinese restaurant. Mm-hmm. It's really great.
You can follow us, the Bechdelcast, on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at Bechdelcast. You can subscribe to our Patreon. Ooh. It's $5 a month and you get 2 bonus episodes every single month.
It's August, so that means on the Patreon this month, we've got the episode everyone's been asking for, Doubt. we have Doubt, and then we'll also have Hackers, because Caitlin's being very patient with me this month.
It's your birthday. Your birthday month.
Aww, so I got birthday. To pick my favorite movie, Doubt, and a movie I haven't seen, Hackers. So go to the Patreon for all of that.
And you can go to our website, Bechdelcast.com, and we've got all kinds of merch there. We've got our episodes there. Just, yeah, check us out online. And
I'm going to go sketch a building that exists.
I'm going to go talk to a Latinx person in Los Angeles at some point today.
Oh, yes, please.
Oh, God. It took place in Los Angeles.
Yeah. And it's so...
But did it.
Yeah. Oh, goodness.
Well, you know, blessings.
Good tidings to you.
Bless your heart.
And God blesses everyone. Goodbye.
Bye.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.